Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Psalms 37 and verse number 1. He said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." I'm interested in verse number 4 tonight. It said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now, if you look over in the next chapter, in chapter 38, verse 9, it says, "Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groanings is not hid from thee." Now God knows what your desires are tonight. Amen? So what he said, "Lord, all my desire is before thee." And then there's a verse over in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 15. We'll not turn over there, but I'll just give it to you. It said, "All Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about." There's a little group of folks. They sought the Lord with their whole desire, and as a result of that, he was found of them. Amen? Now, a definition of that word desire, it is to wish for the possession or enjoyment of, with a greater or less degree of earnestness. It could also mean to covet. It means wishing for or longing for. So I'm preaching tonight on this thought: what about our desires? What about our desires? Our desires ought to be the same as God's desires. Amen? But you think about, what are your desires tonight? Somebody might like to have a new home. That'd be good. Somebody even might like to have a new car. Your old clunker's getting pretty bad shape. You might like to have a new car. I'm sure a lot of us would like to have a little more money, especially since everything's going up like it has. You might be looking for a young person. You might be looking for popularity, prestige. Might be somebody here tonight you'd like to have a promotion down there on the job. By the way, they passed you up last time they give out one. Amen. But these are all fleshly desires. But I'm looking tonight at spiritual desires. Amen. Spiritual desires. I want to preach for a little while on some desires we need. Amen. You know, no one ever got saved without a desire. Amen. I mean, God doesn't beat you over the head and make you get saved, but he gets you to play sometimes. You'll want to get saved, but no one ever got saved without a desire. By the way, we'll not have revival without a desire. Amen. And we'll never have close communion with the Lord without a desire. If we'd be honest tonight, most of us are just about as close to the Lord as we want to be. Amen. I mean, James said over there in James 4:8, if we'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. If the Lord's over there and I'm over here, I make a step toward Him and He makes one toward me, we'll have a head-on collision in a minute, amen. Hey, we're just about as close to the Lord as we want to be. So, we'll never have close communion with the Lord without a desire. And then I want to say tonight, we'll never work for the Lord until we get a desire. Problem with many Baptist churches tonight. They're full of people who have no desire to do anything for the Lord. I told somebody the other day, it'd be a glorious day in some folks' lives when they finally figure out why God saved them. Amen. He didn't save us just to fill up space or warm a little spot on the pew, but He's got something for us all to do, and you'll never get people to do anything until they have a desire to do that. Amen? So we need a desire to serve the Lord. Get involved. I've had pastors through the years, been in evangelism now many years, and they've asked me, Brother Holyfield, how do you get people to get involved in the Lord's work? I said, well, I found out many years ago, I pastored four Baptist churches. Best way I know is to get them head over heels in love with Jesus, and then you won't have to beg them to do something. But the reason tonight a lot of folks aren't doing anything, they don't love the Lord like they ought to, and they've lost that desire to serve Him. And even many churches with a pretty good sized congregation, it's always just a little few that carries on the work for God, and that ought not to be, amen? Well, some desires that we need. I want to say, first of all, tonight, we need a desire for the Scriptures. Listen to what the Bible had to say. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Boy, we've raised a generation of anemic Christians. They just haven't grown like they ought to because they've never really had a desire to get in this old 1611 Bible, amen, King James Bible, and study. By the way, the Bible said, study, show thyself approved, amen. It said, give attendance to reading. Amen. How much time you spend in this old book. Amen. Oh, listen, we need a desire for the Scriptures. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. They got a lot of babies in this church. If you brought that baby home and months went by and somehow or another that baby never did grow, you'd be looking for some kind of a specialist somewhere to see what's wrong. But it's sad, friend, when we got people been in Baptist churches for 20 years, and somehow or another they've never grown a bit. Because they've never got involved in the Word of God. Amen. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. One thing it helped me in pastoring was to see a new convert after they'd gotten saved start getting in the book. Come by now and then and ask me a question about what they'd read in the Bible. And boy, it just thrilled my soul to see them begin to grow. But sometimes I could see them a-growing, but they got hanging around some of that folk hadn't grown. They say, oh, ain't no need to read your Bible every day. Ain't no need to do all of that. I mean, you'll be all right. And how sad, some of them never did grow like they ought to. Amen? Well, I got to move on. I said we need a desire for the Scriptures. Then I'll say number two, we need a desire for secret prayer. Amen? Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, there's that little word desire again, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. So we need a desire to pray. Amen? You'll never amount much for the Lord until you learn the principles of prayer. I'm glad there's a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. You know, tonight, the most time, many people, only time they pray is when they get in trouble. But boy, we got a lot to pray about. We got a lot to be thankful for that we ain't screaming in a place called hell. And we ought not let a day go by that we don't thank the Lord for saving us. He didn't have to. But friend, there's a time in prayer when we praise Him and adore Him and give Him honor and glory. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, there's a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. So we need a desire to pray. You know, it's sad a lot of times you have people in your church, they just don't pray much. Did you know it's a lot easier to criticize than it is to pray? I mean, you ought never come to church and sit there on the pew and say, well, I wonder what's the matter with Brother Jonathan this morning. It seemed like he's reaching up and getting a word there and one over here. Why, you hadn't prayed for him in 30 days. Don't sit out there and criticize him. Hello. Oh, the choir gets up and seem like just, they're a little bit off key or something. Or this lady over here might miss a note. I didn't notice her missing one tonight. I doubt she would. But anyway, if she did, you shouldn't say nothing about it if you ain't prayed for in 30 days. Amen. Come on now, don't die on me. I got about 6-7 points here, and I'm just on my second one. But I'm trying to tell you, friend, we need a desire to pray. Now, I said a little bit ago that I got saved just a few days before I turned 12, but I thank God for a godly mother that took me to church and told me about Jesus. Back in those days, we didn't only just go to church, but they had cottage prayer meetings back in those days. My mama was a pianist at our home church. And if they had a cottage prayer meeting somewhere and they happened to have a piano in that home, my mama would go to that meeting and play the piano over there for folks to sing. But I thank God I had the privilege to be in some of them old-fashioned prayer meetings. And I learned at an early age there was a God in heaven who heard and answered prayer. Somebody in our community might be sick, but that little group of folks that get together and pray, wouldn't be a few days, they'd be getting better. Somebody in that group might have a wayward son. Hey, they'd pray him back in. Amen. Are you listening to me? I'm glad I learned at an early age the principles of prayer, and that God hears and answers prayer. Now, James said over there in the book of James, he said, you have not because you ask not. Amen? Think about that moment. Now, I live down there. Some of you know where I live, down on Twin Oak Road. Live in my grandpa's old house where I was raised. Thank God, after 31 years, I got to come back home. Miss Sarah wanted to remodel that old house. I said, have at it. I got to go preach. I got things to do. But she did a good job. In fact, she put heat and air upstairs. I said, honey, I slept up there for 20 years and didn't have no heat and air. Didn't know the difference. But I'm sure glad she did. Amen. She ended up, my study had to go up there. Thank God for heat and air. And she even went a step further. She put me a bathroom up there. Hallelujah. But listen, I'm glad God hears and answers prayer. Now I live down there, got my grandpa's old place, and I make a little hay. You say, you still work 80 years old? I do. Thank God my dad put work ethic in me at an early age. Thank God he taught me how to work. He'd show you how to do something, and then you go and try it. If you didn't get it right first time, he let you do it till you did get it right. Thank God we took pride in our work. But I make a little hay down there. I got a few cows. I don't know anything wrong with that. Abraham had a bunch. I ain't got near as many as he had. Amen. But I make a little hay and I sell it to some of these horse people. And I sold a fella some hay one time. He actually lived down in Charlotte. He was in the insurance business, but he had some horses over at Boonville. He come and bought some hay from me. And we got that house remodeled. We lived in the other little house right down below it. My granddaughter lives down there now. But anyway, we moved, and we'd been up there a while. I don't remember just how long, but I come in one evening, and my wife said, "Guess what I found?" I said, "What did you find?" She said, "I found a check where a man give you $130 for some hay." Looked at it, and it was in 2014. That was 2017. It got thrown in a little box she keeps on the cabinet for a lot of other junk. And she was looking in there and found that check. I said, "Well, he's got a phone number on his check." She said, "You're not going to call that man." I said, "I sure am. Bible said you have not because you ask not." I called him up. I said, "This Leon Holyfield, you remember me selling you some hay?" He said, "I sure do." I said, "Well, didn't you ever notice your bank account and notice that check never did go through the bank?" He said, "No, I didn't pay no attention. I guess you got plenty of money. You don't have to keep a close check on it. But Miss Sarah kind of has to keep a close check on ours. We just might overdraw." Amen. I said, "I just wondered if you might give me another check since this one's 3 years old." He said, "Well, Leon, I'd be glad to." He said, "In fact, I'm coming up to Yadkinville in the morning. And if you'll meet me at Bojangles about 9 o'clock, I'll bring you another check." I went to Bojangles. He drove in. We went in together, got us something to eat. And lo and behold, he not only brought me another check, but he bought my breakfast that morning. You have not because you ask not. So we need a desire to pray. We need a desire for the Scriptures. Then number three, you need a desire for the sanctuary. I'm meeting pastors who are brokenhearted. Said, "Preacher, ever since the COVID started, our church has gone down." Amen. And a lot of them started staying home, afraid of the COVID. And I don't know if some of them will ever come back to church or not. How sad that is. But I want to say tonight, friend, we ought to love the house of God. Thank God that's where I got saved at, down the church house. That's where I surrendered to preach at, down the church house. It's where God has touched my life through the years and helped me to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to what the Scripture says. Psalms 27 verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. How about that? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Psalmist had a desire to be in the house of the Lord. I just wonder this morning when somebody might have woke up and said, "Oh no, we got to go to church." I hope nobody didn't say that. But hey, we ought to wake up on Sunday morning and say, "Thank God we get to go to church." I'm not up here preaching tonight because I have to. No, I'm up here preaching tonight because I get to. Thank God for the open door and the opportunity. By the way, when the Lord's a meeting with His people down in the church house, I want to be there and be in the midst of it. I don't want somebody coming around Monday or Tuesday one telling me what a good service they had. No! I want to be right there when it's all taking place. And then the psalmist says on another occasion, in Psalms 22 and verse 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Oh, thank God we get to go to church. Amen? Sad, but so many churches today have closed their doors on Sunday night. They close the doors on Wednesday night. How sad. But hey, I'm talking about some desires we need. We need a desire for the house of God, the sanctuary. Amen. Thank God for a good group here tonight on Sunday night. And I'm sure I preached the last time I was here, I think on Wednesday night, you had a good turnout for a Wednesday night. Thank God for that. But there's so many places I go Sunday night and Wednesday night, just a little handful. Why? Because they've lost their desire for the sanctuary. Hope you don't lose that. I hope you realize, I was sitting there a moment ago and watching this choir sing and these folk over here playing these instruments, and I said to myself, these people got something to be thankful for. I go places, they got a little handful, don't have a piano player. If you have a special, nobody to play for them. But listen, friend, you folks got a lot to be thankful for. Amen? I don't know many churches that are considering building. But I think that's what your preacher said y'all going to do one of these days. Huh? So many, friend, are just before closing the door. So don't let that happen. Don't lose your desire to go to church. Amen. Well, let me move on. Desire for the Scriptures. Sanctuary. And secret prayer. Then I think we ought to have a desire to see souls saved. Thank God a few folks around here have that desire, because I know there have been some people saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. The salvation of souls. I think about the Apostle Paul. He was concerned about getting people saved. And he said on one occasion in Romans 10 and verse 1, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Think about that. On another occasion, Paul made mention of the fact that he would be willing to be accursed that his people might get saved. Boy, he had a burden. I remember years ago, we all used to have a burden, and we'd pray for folks, and boy, we'd see people get saved, but so many of us have lost our burden. May God give us that burden back again. And honestly, tonight, I probably every family sitting in this church got somebody probably in your immediate family that's lost. Or you know a neighbor or a friend or a cousin or somebody down there on the job needs to get saved. Friend, we need to pray for them and we need to get a burden for them and try our best to reach them for the cause of Christ. So we need a desire for salvation of souls. And then let me say, fifthly, tonight we need a desire for spiritual gifts. Amen. A desire for spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And then over in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I you a more excellent way. Too many folks tonight don't want to do anything. How sad that is. But did you hear what he said? Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. I'm glad there was a day in my life when God got a hold of my heart, helped me to realize that He had something for me to do. Put a desire in my heart to do something for the Lord. I didn't get completely out of church, but I really got cold on the Lord. And I got involved with missing some old horses and got to going to horse shows. And I still going to church, but I sat there sometimes while the preacher's preaching, think about going home, saddle up my horse and go for a ride Sunday evening. God got a hold of my heart and I dedicated myself to the Lord in 1970, and the horses had to go. Now some of y'all would have never known that I was president of the Dobson Saddle Club one time. It's no longer in existence. But anyway, but when I got thoroughly right with the Lord, the horses had to go. Now, ain't nothing wrong with horses. But they're consuming some of my time that I could have been using for the Lord. And when I dedicated myself afresh and anew to the Lord, and I knew for sure God wanted me to get busy doing something. And the first thing I felt like the Lord wanted me to do, we got right with the Lord. My girls began singing. The youngest one, Jan, she started singing in church when she was 2 1/2. And they've even stood her up in the chair so people could see her sing. But them girls sang all over the country. We'd go to revival meetings and they'd sing. But I felt impressed to start me a little kids' choir in my home church. One lady said to me, "Why, Leon, don't you know them little kids can't learn them songs?" I said, "You watch." My girls were singing, and they already had a little bit of practice, and hey, we got that little group of kids together and started working with them. And me and the pianist did, got them singing. And next thing I knew, we was getting invitations to go to other churches and sing in revival. Thank the Lord for that. But I soon realized I got to getting out and going to revival meetings. Hear some good old-fashioned preaching. And boy, if you ever get a hold of a good old steak, you'll never be satisfied with bologna again. Amen. And boy, God got a hold to my heart, and I was wanting to do something for the Lord, and I knew for a fact that if I ever really did much for the Lord, I was going to have to change churches. And there was a little church right down, well, in fact, it's about as close or closer than the one I was going to my house. The Lord said, why don't you go down there? Now, there were some other churches that were on fire for the Lord, and I'd left and went over there, but hey, I had to do what the Lord told me to do. And that young man was down there trying to get that church to go, and it was just about had closed up before he went there. And he was going to Bible school, working a full-time job. He taught Sunday school. He preached. He led the choir. The Lord said, go down there. First Sunday we went down there, I was sitting back about halfway to the congregation. He walked back there and said, Brother Leon, would you like to teach Sunday school this morning? I said, I'll try. I got up and taught Sunday school. We started going down there. Wasn't long. Come to me one day and he said, Brother Leon, would you consider leading the choir? I said, I'll try. And God allowed me for 4 years to teach the auditorium Bible class. My pastor, who was Brother Donald Ball, some of you know him, he sat in my class. 3 other preachers sat in my class. So I had to dig and study a little bit because them fellas knew more than I did. But I didn't understand all was taking place, but the Lord was getting me ready to preach. I'd take a book in the Bible, get me some old Brother Oliver Green's commentaries, boy, study that stuff, and hey, I'd go through that book verse by verse, teaching it on Sunday morning. God was getting me ready to preach. I'd done that for 4 years. I finally surrendered to preach. And Brother Don said, I wonder when you was going to do that. Said, you've been doing some pretty good preaching. Well, I had a desire for spiritual gifts. I had a desire to do something for the Lord. And I thank God that God gave me that desire. I surrendered to preach on Sunday night. There were 4 preachers there in that meeting. And 3 of them asked me to come preach for them. That was kind of encouraging. Lord must have called me because 3 fellas done asked me to come preach. And I've been preaching ever since. And I don't understand for the life of me how some of these fellows say God called them to preach and they don't have a desire to preach. Miss Sarah said, if I don't have a place to preach somewhere, I am irritable. I'm hard to get along with. She prays for open doors. Amen. But listen, I said all that to say that you ought to desire spiritual gifts. Ask God to give you what you need to do the work He calls you to do. Now I have some folk ask me every once in a while, Brother Holdfield, you'd rather be a pastor or be an evangelist? I said, I want to be what the Lord wants me to be. Man, I had a good church down on the north side of Greensboro, Summerfield Baptist Temple. They took care of me and Miss Sarah well, And we had just about anything we actually needed. And I knew for a fact when I resigned that church, I wasn't going to have that. I had some fellows tell me, Brother Leon, you'll starve to death. Well, you can look at me tonight and see that ain't so. Amen. I have no sad reports. God has met every need. And He always will. If you get in the center of God's will and follow Him. So you need a desire for spiritual gifts. Amen. Well, let me give you another one here. I've got two more. We need a desire for a supernatural revival. I think we do. You say, can we have one? Well, I believe we can. If I didn't believe we could, well, wouldn't be much point in me going other places and preaching like I do. But Psalms 85, verse 6, will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? I believe the psalmist had seen revival. And he said, revive us again. That ought to be our prayer tonight. Lord, do it again. Habakkuk said over in Habakkuk 3 and verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. There's two men who had a desire for a supernatural revival. Would to God we could have an old-fashioned revival, hey, that you couldn't even explain, much less the world couldn't explain it, amen? And by the way, if revival comes to our churches in these days, are you listening to me? It'll be because God sent one. Me or no other evangelist can bring a revival in our pocket, amen? But revival comes from God, and I believe that when folks are willing to get back to that place that they desire a revival, I believe we could have one. But it's sad today. We've reached a point. I have talked to pastors who said they hadn't had revival in their church in 10 years. Preacher, I just got tired of planning a revival and inviting evangelists in and folks wouldn't come. I said, well, you need to have something for them that will come. You can't quit. Amen. But I ain't never asked a fellow when he booked me for a revival how many folk you got. No, you just go and preach to the ones that's there. In fact, I've had some of them say, preacher, now I don't know how many we'll have when you come. Communion with the Savior.
Right, amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Psalm 73, verse 25. He said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. There's that little word desire again. None that he desires besides thee. Amen. And then Isaiah said in Isaiah 26 and verse 9, he said, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Here are two men who have a desire to fellowship with the Lord. Oh yes, we need a desire for sweet communion with Him. Ain't it wonderful when the Lord shows up?
Amen.
I mean, the Spirit is high. You sense His presence and know that He's with you. Man, that's wonderful. Thank the Lord for that. But friend, we ought to have a desire
for sweet communion with the Savior. Now, I stress the emphasis of the sanctuary and how we ought to be there when the doors are opened, and we should. But we ought to have a desire to fellowship with Him down the house,
Amen.
Down at the job, out there where we're working or whatever.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
How long has it been since God just come down and blessed you real good out there wherever you were? I've had some of the sweetest blessings of the Lord riding down the road in the autumn.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes Miss Sarah doesn't quite feel up to going, and I'll go somewhere and somebody said, "Preacher, did you come by yourself?" I said, "No. Got the trio with me. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost. That's pretty good company." Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Preacher, I feel sorry for you out here riding these roads and going place to preach and coming home late and we hours for the night off. Hey, I feel sorry for you for feeling sorry for me. Man, I'm doing exactly what I feel like the Lord wants me to do."
Amen. God.
And some night when you're home in bed and feeling sorry for me, I'm riding down the road, got a good song on the radio, Holy Ghost comes in, it gets thick and foggy in that car. I remember my daughter one day, Jan, youngest one. She said she was coming home from work. And so I said, "Well, though they sung when they were little, still, she's still singing. She's playing the piano some over at Thanks to Calvary. Plays for the young people's choir, other things and sings. And but anyway, she's coming home one evening, had the radio on. She said, "I got the crying and the squalling. God was in that car." She said, "I pulled in the house. I got in, went in the house. My husband said, 'What in the world's the matter with you?' She said, 'God's all in that car.'" Hey, friend, I want you to know we can have sweet communion with
Him.
Do you have that desire? Or are you just complacent and getting up in the morning, going on your way, by not even thanking the Lord for a good night's rest or anything else? But we ought to have a desire for sweet communion with the Savior. Closing tonight, I'm going to ask you, how's your love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you left your first love? I believe tonight if our love for Jesus is right, I think we'll have a desire for all these other things. The Scripture, secret prayer, sanctuary, soul, spiritual gifts, supernatural revival, and sweet communion with you. What about our desires? Let's stand tonight. They're going to come get us a verse of invitation. I don't know your heart. Feel like I preached exactly what the Lord told me to. Challenge us about our desires.